Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 17th of May, recording at an early 5:12 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, the first thing I need to mention, although it will be appearing later in comment of the day, is that Owen and I will be at the chart seminar, conducting the chart seminar on Thursday and Friday. However, we will be returning to the office and we'll try to put up some sort of brief comment of the day, very brief, and I will also record audios on both days. Okay, today, first the highlights. Will Bravura attempt by Asian stock markets to produce some firmness that will be sorely tested tomorrow, given the developments in Europe today. Absolutely hammered. And Wall Street down substantially, albeit off the lows. A trigger factor, not that one was needed for current weakness, but it'll be credited with it, and it did coincide with the real selling, was some CPI figures which were marginally higher than expected. But, you know, at a time when stock market confidence, investor confidence generally was high, that wouldn't have mattered a whit, whereas it had a hammer effect on government bonds, and that soon spilled over into stock markets. And in other areas, interesting, the dollar was weaker early today, but has picked up here today. It's reversed those declines and more. And so some evidence of the cascade effect here, where everything that was going up comes down and everything that was going down goes up. And that was true of gold, which responded favorably to the CPI figures and the initial dollar weakness, but then fell back to small declines at the moment, although gold is still technically strong relative to some other things that we could mention, and I will mention. Okay, let's get back to stock markets. Here, I said yesterday that the activity that we were seeing really looked more like the dead cat bounce, although I was allowing for some further the possibility of some further ranging, as we had a little bit of a struggle between bulls and bears, or the people who are still putting money into the market and people who are anxious to take money out of the market. That may still manifest itself, but the more important consideration is that the uptrend consistency characteristics for some stock markets, not least Europe, which had been persistently firm for such a long time, an increasing number of the uptrend consistency characteristics have been taken apart. A classic example is the Swiss SMI index, and with its big financial weighting, it had done extremely well, but the upward momentum had been waning since February, and then there was a upside failure earlier this month. I think it was last Thursday, and then it's fallen very, very sharply, breaking the progression of higher reaction lows. And many of the European indices are fairly similar. As an important aside, where you see the damage least is on the longer-term point and figure charts. And one of my contentions over the years from TCS is that the chart seminar, of course, is that if anything really important is taking place in markets, you will see it on those more condensed point and figure charts as well. In other words, minor squalls will not, minor contra trend or counter trend reactions will not really show up as anything significant at all on those longer term point and figure charts. But if you see the early warning signs in the daily and then weekly candles, and then we get the deterioration, loss of consistency characteristics showing up in the longer term point and figure charts, then we do know that something important for at least the medium term is taking place. So excuse me, we're not quite there yet in terms of the PNF activity. But that's a little bit like saying in a deteriorating market, where's the next support level? And I think that the signs of deterioration, starting with, not surprisingly, the markets that were most overblown on the upside, take a look at Saudi Arabia, which has fallen over 50% from its high, and I think that was a high back in January, so that we have seen the signs of deterioration suggesting that some of the liquidity was moving out of these markets. And that has been there have been little clues of that nature. But of course, what Saudi Arabia does may be and it might have been an important early lead signal, but it didn't count for much until we got the evidence showing in some of the major markets. But and now that is beginning to be the case. And for instance, we had those upside failures in Japan and South Korea. Now they both rallied today, but unless Wall Street pulls a rally rabbit out of the hat, they are almost certainly going to, those markets almost certainly weaken tomorrow. Now, in terms of overall effect on sentiment, Wall Street, of course, remains in a very, very dominant position. And as I've said before, about the only market that I can see, and it's not actually the whole market, it's sections of the market that I could see uncoupling, and that's doesn't guarantee it's going to happen, but the one that, the market that would have the best chance of uncoupling from a Wall Street influenced global correction in stock markets, I think, would be that China A-share market, not Hong Kong, which would, of course, catch the contagion from the Western markets as well, not least because it's Western investors who've pumped a lot of money into those markets. So my best guess at this stage still is very much that the medium-term correction that I forecast for the second and third quarters is underway, that it started last Thursday, and that it certainly isn't over. Now, when will it be over? Now, well, I would hope that it will be over before the end of October, and that's what I currently expect. But the technical evidence, more importantly, rather than my guess, is when it might be over. The technical evidence we should not miss, and that will be very clear upward dynamics by the leading stock markets. And as I have said in earlier audios, if you want to be quite clear in your own mind what they would look like, just go into the chart library and look at the chart of the S&P 500 index, for example, and go right back and look at the reaction lows, and you'll see the upward dynamics. You can take the weekly chart and go back and look at what was happening and at the low in 2002 and the low in 2003 and the upward dynamics that were evident there. And of course, on the daily charts, you can zero in on the upward dynamics that were taking place earlier this year and say last November, and or whenever that last correction, small correction was, and you'll see the evidence. Now, my feeling though is that this is not just another one of those typical 2-3 week corrections. That remains to be seen, of course, and there are people who would disagree with me out there. But suffice it to say that stock markets have started this correction from higher levels. Interest rates have coincided with this correction at higher levels, both short-term interest rates and long-term interest rates, and the dollar weakness has often coincided in the past with stock market corrections when we get a clear bout of dollar weakness, not necessarily dollar weakness off a high as we saw earlier in this decade, but when the dollar is regarded as a highly suspect and vulnerable currency, and then it starts to weaken sharply. That does tend to get people worrying, understandably. And what else to mention? Then, of course, the last but not least, the explosive moves on the upside that we saw in so many of those metal prices, and that adding to the inflation fear. So. And then you have the seasonal factor. So there are so many factors there that would coincide with this correction. So it's one to be careful about. I suspect it is no more than a correction overall, although it is not beyond the realms of possibilities I've mentioned before that the bean counters, the statisticians, will be able to have a debate as to whether it was a statistical bear market before it's all over, or just a correction. That's not an important point. The important point is that the risks are still to the downside in here right now. And there is evidence of the cascade effect, or contagion, as some may prefer to call it. And that is what I've mentioned on a number of occasions. My biggest fear was that as Wall Street weakened and as stock markets rather went into a global correction, that would cause a flight to cash generally. And someone was asking me earlier today, well, where does the cash go? And I think for a lot of us, it'll stay cash. So it doesn't have to go anywhere. And that in itself has the effect of monetary tightening. Falling asset prices, of course, reduce the feeling of wealth overall. And if the money's just sitting there in cash, certainly the velocity with which money changes hands is declining. And so a point I've made in my comment today is that the monetary tightening, very gradual by central banks, has now accelerated in the hands of investors, meaning that it's being determined more by the markets right now. Good example of that today was gold, and I'm looking now at the, let me look at the I'm looking at the, sorry, the August gold price, which got up to $725.50, and then as Wall Street started to really deteriorate, it slipped back down to 692, currently 699, as I speak. Now, I mentioned earlier on that gold is still fundamentally and technically, in my view, very strong. And I do expect the dollar to weaken later on. I do expect gold to be one of the top performing assets for a number of years, but it did run ahead quite sharply. And therefore, it is hardly surprising that we would be seeing a corrective phase in gold overall. But I kind of regretted the other day that I didn't pick up some gold when it was down $55 off its high. I wouldn't go in aggressively. And I still do still hope that we see that second wave tranche of selling in the gold market to bring it a little bit lower. That would be high on my list of things to pick up if it does weaken further in here. And it could easily do so again in response to the previous short-term overbought condition and just people taking profits, people becoming frightened generally and deciding that cash is king. And that would also apply to just about all the other commodity markets that have been very strong recently. Everything that has been strong, say the cascade effect, the evidence of that cascade effect would be the fact that just about everything that has been really strong goes into a downward corrective phase, and just about everything that was really stretched on the downside gets some sort of technical recovery phase. Now, there's also the possibility which that some of that cash could go into government bond markets, but of course, inflation fears are one of the big factors that are causing markets to wobble in here right now. And I had been running a tight stop strategy, as you know, on my government bond, long-dated government bond shorts. And I'm mostly out of those, although not the US 30-year treasuries, fortunately, and not all of my JGBs. But I had been running those very, very tight stops, and these markets rallied on fears of further stock market weakness yesterday and the day before, and yesterday's additional gains triggered my stops in the bunds and gilts, and both markets are getting hammered in here today because of the CPI figures overall. So I'm not just talking about me in here and saying this. I just offer that as evidence that I don't think it would be a very smart decision to go piling into government bonds. If you have raised some cash, sit on the cash. And I would much, much rather buy gold or some of its proxies on a further correction, and personally, I will do it on a baby steps basis if I get the opportunity. I would much rather do that, and I hope it doesn't happen while I'm busy at TCS, but you can bet the delegates certainly come first in this, just as subscribers come first. But in priorities here in my market-related activities. But again, point is, I'd much rather have the precious metals than anything like bonds. I'm only interested in shorting the bonds, preferably after some periodic technical rallies that then show signs of losing momentum. But I'm not adding to my shorts there, and I'm certainly not buying them, as I've already said. On currencies, I'd love to have the dollar strengthen a little bit further as part of this cascade effect, where really it's the euro coming down, and that would create a nice opportunity to short the greenback once again. Crude oil, it's subject to the same pressures, but as I would argue, is fundamentally and technically also strong. And but today we saw crude up at 70.10. That's an NYMEX crude, but it's currently 68.60. So as the Wall Street selling picked up, that pulled crude down as well. And I think that's pretty much it. Although someone sent me a report. Ooh, no, I didn't find that report, but someone mentioned to me that Andy Z had said that inflationary pressures, the weak dollar, and so on would necessitate higher interest rates for the next couple of years. Well, that's only I now if and if I am misquoting him, apologies all around to say I'm repeating something that someone had said to me. I haven't actually seen it in print. It would be Andy Z of Morgan Stanley. But it all depends on the markets, as I've said before. Now, I had often mentioned that I felt that the Fed had targeted 5% for its interest to stop its interest rate hikes. There's nothing sacred about 5%, but it is a round number. So, a year ago when rates were going up, the Fed wouldn't have been saying, well, we're targeting 4.75% or 5.25% for the federal funds rate. They would have said 5% round numbers, as anyone does. Now, really, what will guide the Fed is what the markets are doing. And if the markets are weak, they're certainly not going to be coming in and raising interest rates, or I would be absolutely astonished if they did anything like that, because they would know that the damage to sentiment caused by a market correction could spill over into housing and so on, and they would not want to exacerbate a downward move. On the other hand, if this correction were not underway, or if it proves to be just a little hiccup, and markets were to go roaring up again, I certainly don't think that's going to happen, but if that were to happen, then of course we'd get further upward pressure on interest rates. So again, my final point on this is that the central banks will take their cues from the market, and right now they don't need to do anything because the markets themselves, due to the actions of investors, as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, are responsible for some monetary tightening. So the more logical consequence of all this is that or development emanating from all this is that markets weaken further, then the central banks become concerned and begin to pump liquidity back into the system and possibly even lower interest rates. If and when we get there, that will be a massive buying opportunity. And on that happy note, I will bid you adieu, although there will be a hoarse and croaking voice and mine doing an audio again tomorrow evening. All the best.